You guys can start turning to Hebrews 12 this morning. And, you know, we've been talking the last couple of weeks about how we have a need of getting stirred up and how God is continuing to revive us again. Little did we know what would happen in this nation and world this last week. You know, God's been preparing us for what's going on around us. And the world has practically gone off the deep end. One of the things that I keep hearing Holy Spirit say is that He's giving our nation a chance to repent still. A chance for us to recognize what our country is submitting to and the ideologies that are continuing to penetrate to it, what people are deciding to pursue. What we're experiencing is a shaking, and it's allowing the church to wake up and realize what we're trying to hold on to, what we're trying to cling to in this time. But one thing to keep in mind is everybody's going through a shaking right now. Not just the believers, but also the entire world. See, we have something we can hang on to, something that's solid. The world does not have that yet. But they will realize that we are standing on an unshakable God. Our foundation is solid. God's been positioning His church to be a constant in this time of change, to remain solid and to remain calm, not to be in a state of disarray because of the shaking, but to stay on that solid ground. So in Hebrews 12, starting in verse 25, "See that you do not refuse Him who speaks, for they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on the earth. Much more, we shall not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now He has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven.' Now this, 'yet once more,' indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of the things that are being made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." See, this is our confidence with everything going on around us. Things are meant to be shaken. So let them be shaken. Because nobody likes the shaking when it's going on. But you realize what's really solid when you cling to it through the whole thing. You know, as I said last week, all this shaking, it's waking us up. All this shaking going on is getting the church stirred up, I think. Everything that we hear of what somebody's doing, it's bringing the church out of a state of complacency. God is up to something. He wants us to be His warrior bride. He wants us to be an active body. He wants us to take a stand using our voice. So now I had a little note in my Bible that said that the author of Hebrews here was actually referencing an Old Testament scripture. And there are times that I can get caught chasing things back and forth between New Testament and Old Testament, where I hover over it if I'm on a device or click on it and instantly go there and start chasing that. But I found it neat how he was actually quoting Haggai. So the prophet in the Old Testament said this in Haggai 2:6, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more it is a little while, I will shake heaven and the earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The prophet here specifically says, all nations. That includes ours. Yes, God founded our nation. But those making decisions, those creating laws, those who have made decisions in an official capacity, not only are they counter God and his entire nature, but some of them are in direct defiance and denouncing how God established our country. Everything is being shaken right now. But the important thing for us to remember, to constantly remember in this time, is we have something solid to stand on. Something solid to run to. Someone solid to cling to. You know, one of the things when I start looking at passages is I look at the entire, everything surrounding the verse that I'm really looking at. And, you know, Hebrews chapter 12, naturally it would follow Hebrews chapter 11. A very well-known chapter of the Bible, where it's the hall of faith, as some scholars call it. It's the examples of faith that so many people throughout the kingdom of God have shown. And the writer of Hebrews is encouraging us to stand on our faith in that one man, Jesus Christ. Christ is the foundation that cannot be moved. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, as it said earlier in Hebrews 12. Our faith in Jesus is that key that unlocks every promise that he has for us. Acts 2:25-28 says, "For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." God has no intention of leaving us, especially in our time of need, in our time of needing comfort. God is faithful to comfort us. Despite everything going on, he establishes us and puts us right there with him. He can't be shaken, so when we're with him, we can't be shaken. We're sure-footed, so to speak. That's a wonderful thing about God being omnipresent, too. He's always present with each and every one of us. So he's always with us. God doesn't change. See, if he was willing to do it for David, he'll do it for us. He cares not only about our eternal destination, but our well-being here today. He's a loving father. He makes sure that we're taken care of. Many of you are parents. You know what I'm talking about from a parent's perspective. If your child needs you, you're there for them. Doesn't necessarily mean you do it for them to get them out of whatever situation they got themselves into, but you're there for them. You're there as a loving parent. You're there to comfort them. You're never going to turn them away when they come running to you. See, we have the best Father of all in Abba. Father God. That's the beauty of the triune head of God as well. All three people have the same attributes. They're all so great. They all have the same personality. One of the things that Jesus said about Holy Spirit is that He would be our comforter. God is so faithful to do exactly that as well. As things are being shaken around us, He comforts us. He says, "Press into me, I'll still be standing when this is all done." God wants our desire to be Him. He wants us to recognize that we can't do it on our own. He wants us to recognize that we need to do it through Him and His might and His strength. That we have that personal relationship with the one true God. In Psalm 145, starting in verse 18, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praises of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever." The Message translation puts it this way: God is there listening for all who pray. For all who pray and mean it. He does what is best for those who fear Him, hears them call out, and saves them. God sticks by all who love Him, but it's all over for those who don't. My mouth is filled with God's praise. Let everything living bless Him. Bless His holy name from now to eternity. The Passion Translation: You draw near to those who call out to You, listening closely, especially when their hearts are true. Every godly one receives even more than what they ask for You hear what their hearts really long for, and You bring them through Your saving grace. See, many psalms are definitely some comforting words that the psalmist recognized and wrote under the leading of the Holy Spirit. God is faithful to draw near to us. He wants us to seek Him with a pure heart for who He is. Not because of what He can do for us. He wants our hearts. He wants to be our desire. He wants us to reach out and call to Him. And the rest is just a given, because that's the nature that God does to bless His children, to give His children the good gifts. I don't know about you, but I rely on being near to God. Otherwise, I'd be fearing what's going on around me in the world right now. You know, I'm reminded from the book of Daniel about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they were thrown into the fiery furnace. See, they drew near to God, though, and God took care of the rest. They didn't know what God was about to do. They didn't know that He was going to answer in the way He answered. They just knew that they heard Him, and they were standing on what their hearts desired. But their act of faith did so much in that moment. It changed everything around them. All we can do is hear what God is saying and trust it. Leaning into Him and trusting Him. God is up to something. He's allowing the world to do what the world does. A sinner is going to sin. He He's going to turn them over to their own desires. Those of you who are familiar with Tim Sheets, last Sunday he released a prophetic word that Holy Spirit had told him and it was instructing him to release. That word is, it's time for the showdown. See, God actually originally gave him this word just 4 days before the Afghanistan debacle happened. And then he gave it from the pulpit just a few days before Joe Biden came on and addressed the country and how all the executive actions he was going to try to make. But I believe what we're witnessing is the showdown starting to happen. The forces of darkness are thinking they are advancing in the war, but they're just positioning themselves for a disappointing failure. They think they have the upper hand. They've released a sickness on the earth. They've created division over how to combat it. They've pushed out conflicting information to where you don't even know what to believe anymore. But it's all about to turn around on them. Whatever can be shaken will be shaken. You know, as God said it in both Hebrews and in Haggai, it's not just the earth being shaken, but heaven as well. How many realize we're in a spiritual battle right now? Also, I'm going to remind you of Ephesians 6:12 this morning. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, where? In the heavenly places. That is the heaven that's being shaken, where the spiritual battle is going on right now. There's no doubt there's spiritual forces behind what's going on. See, all this COVID is to get us distracted from what Holy Spirit is wanting to show us, to keep us busy engaging what the enemy is already defeated by Jesus for. Where Jesus took every disease, infirmity, and curse on the cross, trying to get us pitted against each other and against other people without realizing what God has in store for us. See, Ephesians 6, it focuses on the armor of God. It focuses in on our role in the battle. God gives us specifics on what to use our armor for, how to use our weapons, but it's no doubt that we are called to engage. There's a certain phrase in Ephesians 6 that jumps out at me every time, too. And it goes, after doing all to stand, stand therefore. We won't be shaken. We won't be moved unless we allow ourselves to be moved, unless we give up our position, our stance. After having done all to stand, stand, therefore. See, the United States, it's a republic. You guys remember Pledge of Allegiance, right? To this republic from which I stand. It's not a kingdom. It doesn't have a king. See, in a kingdom, what the king says goes. Joe Biden is not our king. He's not a dictator, despite what he might be trying to portray himself as. There's a reason why our founders had checks and balances. Why they heard from God on how to set up this nation and set it up the way that he did. We're not the ones to tremble and be afraid. We have a reigning king. King Jesus. The author of Hebrews even says that Jesus, who for the joy set before him, enduring the cross, sat down at the right hand of the throne. This world is proving that we can't lean on it. We can't trust what the world is offering. We can't trust the information that it tells us. It's made things look real appealing in the past. The world's being shaken, and it's showing that the only thing that's going to be solid is Jesus himself. Hebrews 12:27. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I like the way the Passion's translation puts it here, where it says, now this phrase, once and for all, clearly indicates the final removal of things that are shaking, that is, the old order. So only what is unshakable will remain. Since we are receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, we should be extremely thankful and offer God the purest worship that delights his heart as we lay down our lives in absolute surrender, filled with awe. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. If you note the word receive used in this passage, it's actually better translated inherit. We are inheriting a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's because of our being grafted into the family of God. We are inheriting that kingdom. That's a promise of God. He even says it in Daniel chapter 7, verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. It's not that we hope to receive or that we might receive. It says we shall receive. That is comforting in this time. The kingdom that cannot be shaken, we shall inherit. So what else is the author of Hebrews trying to tell us here? That we should have grace that we serve God with. Listen, there are people out there that are being used mightily by the enemy, but God still loves them. His desire is that everybody comes to repentance. As long as they are breathing a breath, there is still a chance that they will return to God. We need to offer grace to those who repent. The power and the principality that was controlling them is not as strong as our God. Jesus demonstrated his victory over them. Jesus conquered COVID already. Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. We need to keep reminding it that it is defeated. So now does that mean we just don't do anything when it manifests itself? No. It means we listen to God, what he's saying for us specifically to do. For us to listen for the prompting of the Holy Spirit when he tells us something. But the important thing is we take it to him in prayer. If he says to take medicine, take medicine. There's no shame. If he says to take authority over it and speak to it, that's what you do. If he says that, hey, let this fever do what the fever does, because that's the way I designed your body to fight that disease. If he says that, do that. You know, the the engineer side of me, the design side of me, is always amazed at how God designed our bodies. The way it fights off infection, the way it does things, that's insane. I mean, I'm always blown away when I look at how God designs stuff. I look at it and go, I never would have thought of that. That's brilliant. And that's the way God is, though. If Holy Spirit tells you to seek other medical attention, there's nothing wrong with that either. You know, John and Patty, they won't be in service still for a little bit here, but they'll be the first to give God all the glory because Patty's healing is coming so much quicker than the medical experts said it would. They're blown away with how fast she's recovering, how fast she's receiving her strength back. One last thing, and I hope you wore your steel toes today. I know I did. If you get the vaccine or you don't get the vaccine, it's between you and God. No condemnation if you did, no condemnation if you don't. Some people, the vaccines work well, some people, they don't. Some people may say, well, that's some really not good stuff to put in your body. Well, you know what? Neither is the Nutty Bar I have every morning for breakfast. There's certain things that we make decisions constantly of how we treat our bodies. It's between you and God, though. No condemnation either way for a vaccine. The only person you ultimately answer to is God. If we make the wrong choice here on earth, what's the worst that happens? We see our Savior earlier than we expected to. God deals with us. He tells us when we made the wrong decision. Let God be God. We're not to have division over a vaccine, though. We're not to be shaken. One of the biggest tactics the enemy has used in the past, and at times been successful at, is causing division. I'm just being honest here. You don't believe me? Look at how many churches we have in this town alone. A lot of them were caused because of church splits. There's at least one in town that was a church split off of New Life. Some of you guys were here for that. But the enemy thrives off of division because he knows that there's power in the unity. We need to recognize that when the enemy presents himself, not to be swayed in trying to fight our brothers and sisters, or people that are caught up and being used by the enemy. Engage with the power and the forces and the principalities. Speak to them and tell them to be done. See, we have a kingdom we've been promised, and it's not able to be shaken. We're to stand on that. Don't be deceived with what you may see in the news. There's still hope. We still have a reigning king. He's higher than any position of man here on earth. See, there's a flag right up here on the stage still behind me, and I think it says it all. We appeal to heaven. We appeal to the King of Kings. We appeal to the Lord of Lords. He isn't shaken by any of this. And neither should we. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you that you are that solid rock. Jesus, we praise you for being our firm foundation, that you cannot be moved. Lord, we thank you that you are much stronger than anything here. Lord, we thank you that despite everything going on around us, you are right there with us. Lord, we lean on you. We recognize that we can't do it on our own, that we rely on your guidance, Lord. Lord, Help us recognize your voice. Help us recognize what it is that you are telling us, God. Have your way. Have your way in us. Lord, we thank you that you are victorious and that through you, we are victorious as well. Lord, we pray for forgiveness to flow. We pray for unity to flow in this area, in this body of believers, God. Lord, let your word come forth and be strong, Lord. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for who you are. We give you all the glory. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.